previously on The Hired Swords. I always find it amusing how much the goblins remind me of my fellow dwarves. Humans and orcs, light and dark. The narrative that's been played out by those that would rather control us mortals than let us live in harmony. It pleases me so much to see this village, this little pocket of life, hopefully starting to thrive out from under the thumb of Darnaldi. Time will tell. For now, I just want to enjoy my evening under the stars with such a wonderful evening of dancing and festivities. The least I can do for Giss and the goblins, a night of rest under our protection. Listening to The Hired Swords, a D&D podcast where there's so much to do and so much to see, so what's wrong with taking the back streets?
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Hired Swords.
We are here.
I'm Mike, your dungeon master. I've got Blaze.
Yo, that was me earlier when I said hired swords. Just
that
so
was
you know.
that was totally Blaze. He's Kriggs. I got Mikey.
Howdy there.
Mikey's here. He plays Joxer. Derek is Davin.
For this time, I am at least.
Yeah, right now, so far he's Davin. Also, Gwendolyn plays Ash.
Hello.
New character who dis. Yeah, Gwendolyn is everybody's favorite pet owner. So when we last left off, our friends here had been partying at the tavern in the Goblin Village north of Wild Hill. About a day's travel north, they found Giss and got a little tour of the village, including a house that they found out belongs to Darnaldi Bogashaw. And Davin decided, while everyone else was partying after Kriggs kind of got some stuff started with some rhythm, a rhythm section, and a surprise bard came out. Goblin bard started playing music. Everybody was getting down with the tss, 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 as Davin went through Darnaldi's house and found a few items that he had to kind of unlock a box with some secrets and get in there. And once he did, though, he had some interesting stuff that he finally took out of that box and everything in back in the cabins. It's the hunter's cabins, the nice, really luxurious cabins. I said luxurious weird, but he got some of that stuff out and was looking at it. And meanwhile, Kriggs had found out that there was some suspicious activity possibly going on at night that was making Giss's mother feel like she had seen her husband around. And so he decided to kind of hang out outside for the night, even if just to help her feel better and help Giss feel better. Joxer offered to help. And we ended last week's episode with Davin opening up the box and finding a scroll, a parchment, and unrolling it, and me saying, we'll find out what that said on the next episode. So to start off this episode, I want to go to Kriggs and Joxer and see what you guys are up to this evening. Kriggs, I believe we ended with you heading towards the little neighborhood of huts where Giss and his mother were, and Joxer was shortly behind you, I think, to follow you over there. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's what I think was happening last time.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I was headed that direction from the tavern, little goblin tavern, and Joxer was still there kind of cleaning stuff up. I had probably got there a decent amount of time before him. Safe to say the houses that are there kind of have the little like camping area nearby. I would have likely sat near kind of the fire that was posted there and just kind of relaxed and took a bit of the stars in that were overhead while I could. It's not every night you get to kind of see such a clear sky like this.
Awesome. Yeah. Every one of those little huts has a little cooking fire outside that they pretty much try to keep going, and at least the embers burning. So you're able to kind of stoke that up a little bit, hang out by that fire. Joxer, what are you doing as they close down the tavern? Vale is still sitting there kind of playing a little bit. You've got that kind of lazy violin kind of music going, plucking on the strings. And Kevin is kind of sitting up again and eating a little more, feeling a little more like himself. Gis is sitting in there talking to a couple of the other goblins. What are you doing while you're in there?
Yeah, I would be, you know, kind of making sure everybody's feeling all right and handing out a couple of kind of top off drinks of that last casket. You know, being a little bit more sparing because I really want to make sure that Davin tries this one. And then I'll kind of walk out and start heading towards where the little huts are.
All right. So you hand those out. Everybody's really grateful. A couple of the goblins have already kind of passed out on the tables there. They partied hard. You're not sure if it's the dancing and stuff just wore them out or all they had to drink or what, but they've enjoyed the evening, and it's been a while since they've had an evening like this. So they enjoyed it to its fullest, and now they're all resting. And you walk outside. When you do, it's pretty dark. You can kind of hear the animals stirring a little bit over in the pen, and you see the small glow of a fire just around the corner and towards the huts over by near where Gwendolyn had been talking to that small goblin, but just beyond that a little ways. And so I bet you would assume that's about where Kriggs is. So do you head that way, or is there anywhere else you'd like to go?
Yeah, I think I would glance over to where Darnaldi's is, and then kind of glance over at where we're staying just to kind of get a feel of the area. And then I would just head over to where I think Kriggs is. And, you know, I think, you know, by this time he should have probably finished one of, you know, or at least the majority of the drink that I sent him with.
Yeah, to the left there is where Darnaldi's house is. And Darnaldi's house sits dark, still shut up. There's no doors or windows open or anything. It actually looks no different than when you saw it before. But right across the way from Darnaldi's hut, there is the first hut that you guys had been staying in, right outside the kind of camp area for hunters. And across from the tavern, not a 50 foot walk away, across this little camping area or campfire area towards the hut you're staying in. And then if you continue on forward, you'll get around the corner from the animal pen towards where Kriggs is.
I'll probably giggle and think of Gwen after I pass the animal pen, and then think of the slightly tormented goblin from earlier in the day. And just, oh, Gwen, what are we going to do with you? And then continue on.
All right. And then you... Walk up towards Kriggs. He's sitting at a little campfire there. We're going to jump over to Davin now. Gwen, you're sleeping?
Yes.
Gwen's sleeping.
You just hear in the other room snoring. Just, she's out like light.
Yeah, she had quite the evening. Davin, you're sitting there looking at this rolled up piece of paper. What you have, it looks like it was a small page of a book that has been torn out, and notes have been scribbled on it, handwritten notes. And the page of the book has this little Venn diagram looking thing that the center says it's this greenery looking something. And it says Greater Glintry on it. And then next to it, you see a brighter green to the right that says The Wild. And the left says Shadow Wild. And it's a dull kind of grayish tint to the same kind of pattern. Like, it looks like it's all supposed to be natural looking. But it is indeed, it is grayer on that left side and brighter green on that right side. And I'm going to share this with you right now, so you can see it. We will probably put this on Twitter or something like that for people to see, or our website in the future once this episode's released. But it's got these scribblings all over it. Will you describe that stuff for those listening? Are you able to see it?
I can see it, yes. So it almost looks like a map unfurled a little bit. Like you said, in the center, there's like a big circle, and inside it says the Greater Glintry. To the left of it says Shadow Wild. To the right, it says The Wild. Underneath it says, Where Does It Open? And then there's some more scribblings on the right and left at the bottom. On the left, it says cities with a question mark. And then crossed out, there's four different names. There's Glint, there's Lavrith, there's Morophos, and Wild Hill. But Wild Hill is not scratched out. It has a question mark over it. On the right side, it says where else with a question mark. And it has Stone Mountains, which is crossed out. And it has the Black River, which is crossed out. And it has the Dragon Pit, which is crossed out. And then it says Al-Minora with a question mark. And then underneath it, it's got like underlined pretty intently.
All right. So this is what was in that box. And make a history check as you look at this.
Ooh, that's a natural 18. And my history is a zero. So it's still 18.
Okay. You definitely have seen books like this before, and you can tell where this page is very worn. It's very worn down and stuff, but you can tell that it's like it did originate probably in some sort of collection of scrolls or collection of books, and you know that you've seen things like this in like histories of creation or histories of realms, how the realms came to be, and this seems to be like it was that originally, but he's been writing these extra things on there. Somebody has. You can only assume it was Darnaldi. So
Davin is thinking hard about it. He's trying to figure out exactly what it means and what the connection is. And the word, he keeps looking at the word Al-Minora, and he knows that from Gwen. So I don't know if there's some sort of connection with her father, but I definitely have to show this to the group. And then right. I'll just roll it up. I'll furl it back up and probably just rest for the night. And I'll talk to the group in the morning.
Okay. So you roll that back up. You lay down and start to settle in. And we're going to cut back to Kriggs. As Joxer is approaching, you're kind of sitting in the evening looking around. And you see Joxer coming.
I take it you've wrapped up the party then?
I think they enjoyed it more than they've enjoyed many things in the last while, so I think so.
That's good. It's not every day you get to have a celebration, and I feel these people more than most likely deserve one.
I absolutely agree. Got to see Giz back there for a little bit. He seemed to be tending to Kevin and a few of the others. I think he was a little surprised at how much everybody partied, I guess.
Well, that's good. I'm curious to see. Well, I guess his mother has been struggling with her sleeping. She's been having nightmares, and she swears they're not nightmares. But Giz is convinced it's nothing more than just that. Something bumps in the night, and it's confusing an old lady. But I've seen that look in many eyes, that look of actual belief, convinced that there is something more to these dreams, or what she's seeing is actually real. So, alas, here I am. I am trying to do a favor for a friendly soul that we crossed in our path.
Yes, I think I owe Giz a lot more than staying the night out here at minimum.
Well, but I appreciate the company. I'm glad you're here.
It's been a while since we've sat under the stars together. It's we haven't had any good drinks, and I'll start pouring a drink, and I think we've seen a lot of crazy things ourselves, so I trust the judgment that you have in seeing what his mother, or seeing what is in her eyes whenever she says about it.
I just figure, what can the harm be, right? A night out under the stars is not too uncommon for us these days, so if I can put to rest a little bit of a mystery for an old soul, then nothing wrong with that either, I guess. I'm going to take the drink from you and just sip on it. I'm not trying to party at this point. Just enjoying the cold little cool breeze come in and the sound of the various bugs and things and the fantasy crickets.
Yeah, and you hear, still hear like a slight strumming of this mandolin, guitar, violin thing that Vale had on his contraption as he's, you kind of hear almost like a howling singing as he's just kind of doing his own thing, kind of by himself, but you can kind of hear it echoing through the village lightly, as well as, like you said, the wind blowing through. It is a cool wind, and the animals are stirring about in the pen. You can kind of hear them kind of walking. You hear that kind of thuds of their kind of hoof prints here and there. You suddenly hear just a little cough of a small goblin walking back to their hut from the tavern and chit-chatting with someone else. And seems to be like this is going to be a pretty peaceful night. Are you guys going to try to rest, sleep, or are you guys going to
I'm going to take watch? How's that watch, work? But like, I figure for a little while at least, we're still going to be coming down from the party. I'm going to walk over a little bit closer to the pen. It's not too far away, but I'm going to head that direction just a little. I'm going to take my shield, and with the pointed end of the bottom of the shield, I'm going to kind of burrow out just a little tiny nook in the ground, kind of like a hole. And I am going to reach into my pocket and pull out a couple gold coins, and I'm going to play an old dwarven game with Joxer where you toss these coins and you're trying to get an exact number. It's strange rules, dwarvish rules, and if I remember correctly, you're trying to get the most in the actual hole, but also have a trump coin that you want to get to right to the edge without it actually dropping in. And as soon as you get that, whoever has the most coins in the hole itself, right on the lip of the burrow, then you count the coins and win. So
awesome.
Why haven't you brought this game up before? This one's unique.
There's never really been a night. It's kind of a two-person game anyway. After a while, you start to figure, whose money really is this, I guess. People, money between friends. Anyway, it's a cool night. It's a quiet game for the most part. I figure we can pass some time before we get too tired.
All right, so I place my coin at the edge here, and then we both throw in? Is that...
What you're going to do is we'll take turns throwing coins one to one, and whoever can actually get a coin right on the lip of the burrowed hole without falling in, that is the ringer. And if you get the ringer, that's whenever coins are then counted. Whoever has the most points wins the round. First of three rounds actually win.
What, you've never played coin hole before?
I'm just not familiar. My family weren't really into games.
Oh, but... You find a lot of time for things as a dwarf. Big families, lots of needs and wants from the children and whatnot. You find ways to occupy yourself.
Yeah, all right. So just go back and forth on throwing coins.
So you guys sit there flipping coins back and forth and trying to... Are you guys wagering your coins to see, like, or just flipping for games?
It's just friendly gameplay, okay, while sipping on a drink.
Well, as you're playing the game, things start to, I don't know, it feels even quieter. Like the town's just really starting to settle in for the night. The plucking of strings and singing kind of stops. There's no more stirring about. You don't hear people moving around. You do see the animals here and there. They're just kind of walking back and forth, walking throughout the pen. Every now and then they'll shake, you hear them shaking their heads or stomping their foot suddenly. But that's about the only stirring about. And the breeze starts to really feel cool. So it really gets cold out. And you hear quietly from behind you, you hear,
oh, yeah, I know. It's funny, but he just sometimes he would do that and we would just laugh at it.
And you just hear this little voice just kind of talking behind you. Can I roll to be terrified? Yep.
That's a natural 20. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So you hear that voice behind you as you guys are flicking these coins.
Do you hear that, Griggs? Is that...
It sounds like it's his mother. She seems to be stirring in her sleep. I don't know who she's talking to, though.
Yeah, I'd like to make a perception check to see if she's out of the house. Yeah, or...
make a perception check as you look back towards the hut.
Oh, that's a nat one. Yeah.
It is dark, and as you look towards the hut, another giggle.
You're so funny.
Maybe we should get closer.
I think, well, this might be brazen. I think I'm just going to peek my head in. But can that hurt? I mean, they know I'm staying out here, right? Maybe not you. You're not a part of the equation, but I said I was staying out here. Maybe I'll just take a peek, and I'm going to try to crack the door just slightly. It's like a, not exactly no a wooden actual, door. It's
there's
just
no
the
actual
thatching.
Door. It, okay. There's no actual door. It's just this archway in the thatch that you can peek through pretty easily, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to peek in and take a look around.
Make a perception check.
Okay. 17 plus my perception, which is 118.
Yeah, you don't see his mom in there.
Oh.
But you don't see anything else like crazy either. You see there's this elevated bed that's kind of hanging from the sticks that hold the roof up. And Giss is up there, and you hear little snores from him. But the bed that sits on the ground beneath that one, there's nobody in it.
Is there an obvious secondary doorway that she could have exited through?
There is not. Joxer, make a perception check again right now. Well, you're standing outside still?
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, make a perception check. And Craig, what's your passive perception?
So that's a luck die. Okay, that's a 19.
11.
You hear Joxer. Craigs, you're still looking around trying to make sense of where she could have gone. Joxer, you hear the animals in the pen as they start to stir about a little more aggressively. The shuffling of their hooves in the dirt, and they're kind of walking around, and you hear the goats just loud bleeding from these big goats, and they're kind of stirring about in this pen where that before they had seemed to start kind of being melancholy and chill like bedtime. They're starting to stir and move as you so what are you gonna do there?
I'll make a just a loud whisper.
Griggs, get out here.
And then I'll start heading over to the pen again.
Am I hearing the animals now rustling that I've come out, or at least turned back to Joxer and he got my attention?
Yeah, if you turn out and head that direction, you can kind of barely make out the silhouettes of these creatures. They're literally like kind of walking in circles in this pen and making, kind of causing a little bit of a ruckus.
Okay. Is the town, you said it was getting quiet. Is it abnormally quiet? Like, is it unusual feeling?
Make another perception check as you kind of observe the area.
Sure. 14 plus 115?
Yeah, it is darker than it should be. You see no moon. You see no stars. You look around, and where you before would see kind of the silhouette of the huts, you just see dark all around you. You can see the pin in the middle and the animals stirring because it's closer to you. But as you look beyond there, it's so dark here that you can barely take in that light. Even with dark vision, it's like you can see more than you maybe should in this darkness, but definitely not as much as you're used to at night.
Right. Watching Joxer head that direction and seeing that it is kind of just giving me an uneasy feeling, honestly, I'm going to call out, Joxer, come, hold on. There is a foul feeling in the air tonight. I'm going to raise my hand, my right hand that has the eye, and I'm going to cast Detect Good and Evil. You're going to see kind of a light. Originally, it would always glow, but now it's kind of at my own control. You're going to see a light green, bluish light kind of come from my hand, almost in a flashlight sense, that I can move around, and it's got about a 30-foot range from me. And if there is anything within a 30-foot radius that is an aberration, celestial, elemental, fey, fiend, or undead, I know that it exists, and I know where it is located for the next 10 minutes.
Okay, and are you located... Did you walk any closer to that pin, or are you still standing right outside?
I'm about halfway to it, kind of following where Joxer would have walked that direction. Not all the way. I wanted to whisper to him, so yeah, I took a couple steps okay. That way.
Okay, so you moved about 10 feet closer. So you suddenly get this outline, this magical green glow, this outline of these creatures. They look like they could be goblins. Their size, but they're just like flickering in and out of existence, in and out of visual, like being visual, as you look in the pin, and then you kind of see almost like through the building, almost like infrared, you would see the outline of somebody hiding behind a building. You see another one to your left beyond one of the huts that Jocks are standing just almost right next to. He's standing next to the hut, not the creature. The creature is about 15 feet away.
Okay.
On the other side of that hut. And they are...
How many have I located? Is it obvious that they are evil and not...
You have located two. Do you get a sense of what kind of creature they are? Does that let you know that?
I believe it lets me know what type it is. If there is an... You know if there is an aberration, celestial, elemental, fey, fiend, or undead within 30 feet, and I know where the creature is located. Similarly, I know if there's a place or object within 30 feet that has been magically consecrated or desecrated. It can penetrate most barriers. These are huts. It's fine. It doesn't necessarily tell me. I guess it's up to your interpretation.
I'm going to tell you, it says, you're getting an undead buzz from these things.
Okay, so I'm going to say probably evil. Joxer, we are not alone. Can you make it and rise? Try to get Davin and Gwyn up. I don't know if there's going to be a fight, but we are definitely not alone.
I think it might be too late for that. We need... And then I'll cast Dancing Lights as a cantrip and bust out, like, okay. Kind of try to surround the pin with lights.
Okay. As the lights come up, you see these animals stirring about, and one of these boars runs and hits the fence with its head, and it backs up and runs again and hits the fence with its head, and it backs up again, and it starts ramming the fence. And it breaks through. And when it does, it runs right into a tree intentionally, ramming its head into this tree over and over. You do anything?
It very much seems like it's trying to probably harm itself. Don't like that.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe you're getting, totally. It hits the tree, it backs up and shakes its head. And it runs back in, hits that tree again, and just backs up and keeps going until finally it hits one time. Collapses on the ground, its head kind of burst open, and this red blood and carnage just kind of seeps out of the top of its skull as it did that. The other ones are starting to run faster, and you hear the snorting of these creatures as they are, and the bleeding of these goats as they get more and more agitated in this pen. Joxer, this creature that you don't see, Kriggs, you see this creature coming right up to Joxer, and it's going to attack Joxer with a 18.
That will hit. Yeah.
An 18 hits Joxer. So it hits you, and when it does, you immediately feel this drain, like your skin and everything starts to dry up, and you take 7 necrotic damage. And I need you, suddenly you just feel your energy deplete and your strength deplete, and you lose 4 strength points from this drain of life as this thing hits you.
That's awesome.
And now, Kriggs, you see that Joxer is mostly enveloped in this creature's existence. It's kind of wrapped itself around him and is now like feeding on his strength.
Oh, delightful.
Do you guys even have your weapons and armor?
I'm fully geared. I got all my kit. I don't know about Joxer though.
I would have. I had no reason not to.
I don't remember anybody saying they took anything off necessarily, so.
Davin did. He changed into his common clothes the night before.
That's true.
Yeah, you did. I did as well. I laid everything on the bed, but whenever I kind of ascertained this was where I was going to be for the evening, I fully fit back up. How far away are we from where Davin would be sleeping?
It's about a 60-foot distance between you and where Davin is.
Okay, well, I don't want to do this, but I feel like it's the only kind of option I have. I don't want to create mass hysteria amongst the goblins. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, I know what I'm going to do. I don't like this, but I'm limited. I'm going to take down my... Actually, I don't have to take down the finding good and evil. I'm going to cast a spell. All right. I'm going to set out a little whistle. Little... And none of you have seen this yet, but I was told by my steed that I could potentially do this. And I wait. And about 10, 20 seconds later, this little blue jay from the wilds flies out, similar looking to how my cape is. A little blue jay flies up to my shoulder, and I whisper to it. I tell it, a man, a gaudy man, lots of necklaces. And I point at the location where Davin is sleeping, and I tell it, Davin, get up. We need you and Gwyn out here. We are not alone. And I'm going to cast Animal Messenger as this little blue jay flutters over there in the direction I pointed, looking for the gaudy man with lots of necklaces.
All right, in the time that you're doing that, that blue jay comes and flies, and while it does, you're standing there watching these more of these creatures approach you, and they're kind of surrounded in this like green aura that is making them visible to you. Joxer, you don't see them. You are feeling something on you. What are you doing while he's doing this, feeling that you've been attacked by something you don't see?
After feeling somewhat drained, I'll kind of grab it myself and then take my hands across my arms and then kind of throw them downwards as you see this kind of purple glimmer cover my body as I cast Mage Armor.
Okay.
Jock, sorry, I don't want to alarm you, but they're on you right now.
That's fantastic. I appreciate it. And then, you know,
can
then
you not
I try
see
to
them?
I apparently can't see anything, and then I'll like try to just swing it all around myself with the rapier.
All right, make an attack.
Let's go with this die. This die's... No, that's everything fell.
A rapier tornado, if we will.
Yeah.
Yeah. What weapon are you using? Just your regular rapier.
So it's a rapier of fire. Okay, that I got from them earlier, and that was a 13 to, well, yeah, 13 to hit.
13 will hit. So roll your damage on that 13 as he swings his rapier around kind of violently, and Kriggs, you see in your kind of magical aura that you're seeing, you see this red hue of this rapier as it slices through this kind of dark green shadow of this creature that is on him, and it does actually go through and dissipate some of it. Roll your damage. What was it?
So that's 11 piercing and 4 fire.
All right. So it gets stabbed and shoved through, and as it does, it dissipates some of it. You see the fire start to spark, and it's like the fire dies out partially before it fully burns, but it does do a little bit of damage to it. So as it's still there, it's still alive, but it's taken some damage. It looks like it's flickering in and out kind of from that attack.
Did he see it like did the fire react to whatever it hit? He could see the blaze, or was it just his sword is flailing through the air and he's unaware of the fact that he made contact?
He could see the effect of the fire on something. He still is not fully aware of in this like sudden. It just seems a little darker where you are, Joxer.
If I saw anything hit from wherever the blade hit, I'd probably use a key point and start trying to like attack it with my hands.
Okay, go for it.
So that will be 2 attacks, and that's another 13, and then that is another 13. So
yeah, 2 more hits.
And then, so for my unarmed, it's a 6. So 5 plus 3, so 8, and 1 plus 3, so 8 and 4,
math,
12.
Math.
12, yeah.
12 damage.
Yeah.
All right, so you
those
see...
those were magical, right?
Kriggs, you watch Joxer as he is just, like, manhandling something, and he's reaching for any part of him that looks like darkness that is just kind of descended upon him, and he rips and pulls, and you see him literally like when he pulls the tattoo looking vines on his arms pulsate with the glow, and the glow pulsates out of him as he pulls and kind of punches at stuff, and it like dissipates, it kind of wraps itself around, and the light of that those his hands, it just kind of like engulfs the darkness and floods it away to where there's nothing there anymore. And the creature's still barely hanging on. You see little bits of shadow kind of just like flickering all around him as these other creatures are closing in. Davin, you are laying there like trying to go to sleep, and you hear this. Did you close your door when you went to lay down?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, so this bird flies in and lands on your chest as you lay there and just starts tweeting at you. And you hear the tweeting, and you don't know what it's saying, but you know your friends need help. It's like the words don't make sense, but what it's trying to say to you completely makes sense. Like the tweeting, you don't understand it like words, but you understand the idea it's trying to tell you. And your friends need help, and they're outside right now. They need you and Gwyn.
All right. I'll jump up and I'll look around. I don't really need anything. I'll make sure I have pants on. I have pants on. We're good to go. So I'll go rushing out to the other door and I'll rush right up to Gwyn. I'll just shake her real hard. Say, Gwyn, there's trouble.
Before okay. He walks in, Gwendolyn's having one of those. She's just having a dream, but it's one of those dreams where it's, would it be like sleep paralysis? So... what is it called? Is it sleep paralysis?
Where you're in the same like move. A nightmare and you feel awake but you can't move? Yeah. No, it's no fun.
She's doing that, and she's opened her eyes before Davin comes in, or she thinks she's actually opening her eyes, and she sees a little chipmunk just run across her face, and she's like, "What? Dale?" And the chipmunk comes over and then takes its little claws and then just starts slapping her cheeks. And she can't... It's, like, terrifying because it's not Dale. Something's not right. And she ends up waking up in real life, and it's Davin asking her to come. What's happening? And she's kind of, like, breathing because she was kind of terrified.
I don't know, Gwyn. I just know that they're in trouble. We got to go help them.
Okay, and she just, her hair is not in any braids. You can tell that she messed up the room but they're sleeping and rolling around, and she is half dressed. She has pants on, but she just has her shirt on and not like her vest or anything. And she runs with Davin.
All right, you guys go outside, and there you see this darkness. It's darker than you would have definitely darker than you would have expected on a night like this. And you look out over the area, and you can hear kind of this. You definitely hear this shuffling of these animals in the pen, and the bleat of these goats and the snorting of these hogs there. And as you come out to the outside of the cabin, you're unsure completely of where Kriggs and Joxer are. You're not able to necessarily see where they are, but you definitely hear that something's happening with these creatures, these animals. What are you going to do?
So we can't see them at all. We just hear noise.
Currently, no. They're behind trees. It's extra dark. They're back behind trees and some huts and stuff. The
dancing lights wouldn't be seen at all.
Oh, I forgot about the dancing lights. That's what those circles are you're drawing on the map. So the dancing lights are there. They're lighting things up, but it is half as much as you would have thought. It's dim compared to what you are used to. There's these shadows, and I mean like the extra shadow from these dancing lights everywhere. And go ahead and make a perception check as you look out to see what's going on. We'll give you that to go look for them, because I forgot about the dancing lights.
Perception, I have a 7.
9 plus 8, 17.
Okay, so Davin, you look out and you just see this dust that's swirling up from the craziness happening in this pen. And you don't see anything of interest other than the fact that these animals are going crazy. Gwendolyn, you, as you're looking, you see the dust in the pen. You see it swirling around. You see what looks like a dark spot in the middle of this pen where this kind of the swirling around them. And you can see the silhouette of Joxer flailing his arms around, trying to fight off whatever is on him from beyond the tree to a little bit to your right as you look towards this pen and towards the huts where these goblins live. It's just to the right of you a little ways. And that's where we are. We're all going to roll initiative now for the rest of this.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
That is 18.
Davin got a 14.
21 took.
Ooh, 19.
13.
I take that back. 18, because I have a negative 1 initiative. I forgot. I'm not a Dexy boy.
Oh, you're so Dexy.
I mean, though. You beat both of us. I'm too Dexy for this group. Too Dexy for this.
Too Dexy for initiative.
Yeah.
Joxer, what's your dexterity modifier?
3. So.
What is your score? Dexterity score.
16. I'm sorry, 16.
16, okay. All right, and Davin, I forgot, I didn't catch your initiative roll.
14.
14. Blaze, if you want to da-da-da-da-da while I write out this initiative real quick. All right, Joxer, you are at the top of the order. We're starting with you.
Oh, thank you, because I don't like this thing. As bonus action, I'm just going to throw out my hand, and you see a shadow blade pop out as I do a shadow blade. And would you consider it dim outside?
It is.
Low light?
Yes, dim and low light.
I get advantage on attacks with that thing.
Good. Ooh. For you.
Yeah. So Joxer will start with that on that shadow next to him. Advantage was needed. So that's a 15 to hit.
Definitely hits.
Okay.
AC's 12.
So that's a 5, 4, and a 1. So that's not super good. So that's 10, 14 damage.
All right. 14 damage. You swing that blade around, and when you do, it just dissipates the rest of this shadow, and suddenly you feel the light of these your orbs shining on you again. It's like the shadow, whatever was blocking that light, is gone, and you don't feel that oppression anymore from that creature. It is gone now. Is that your whole turn?
Unsure.
Okay.
So that was a bonus action, an action, and I don't know where anything else is. I can't see anything dark enough. So, yeah, yes, okay. That is the end of my turn.
Bullshit okay. yourself, lad. That's not the only one.
I kind of figured. Jesus. All
right. So these creatures, one of them comes right up to you, Craig. You see it. You see it coming. You know it's there, but it comes right up to you, and it's going to make its attack on you now.
He can try.
Uh-huh. And it rolls a 23 to hit.
Yep.
And it's only going to do a couple d6 damage plus 2. 7 damage.
Rude.
But you feel this drain as it drains your strength by, and this is your total strength score, goes down by 3. And it should affect all of your attacks and everything if it goes down enough, so make sure to keep that in your thoughts as you're rolling attacks and everything. So that's that first creature. It comes up and handles you that way. This next creature is going to come up, and it's going to try to wrap itself around you as well, Kriggs. And it comes at you with only a 14 to hit. So
that's
as
not
it
gonna do
comes
it.
Towards you, you see it coming because you are standing. I mean, you're seeing the aura, that glow around it. And as it comes towards you, you are able to sidestep it and let it kind of zoom past. And it just kind of hovers there next to you. And make a perception check just real quick as it comes by you and it gets this close. And it's not on you now. It's just kind of like near you.
Okay. I mean, it's not great. It's a 10.
Okay. All right, that's it then. And so it just kind of gets past you, and you hear again in the distance this giggle of Giss's mom as she says, "Where are you now? How do you do this?" And that takes us to your turn, Kriggs.
Okay, so I still have these two that are directly next to me, and I can see one kind of approaching. It looks like.
Yeah, you see one just beyond the tree and the fence approaching you. One of them kind of zoomed past you and it missed and is behind you. The other one is right next to you. It's like like on you, kind of raffling you, getting ready to feed again.
How far did it go beyond me, like when it passed me?
Just on the other side of you, like 5 feet.
So it's still, I don't get an attack of opportunity on it?
No, it didn't leave your range at all.
Okay. I'm going to look over at Jocks. I'm going to be like, There's one here, and I'm gonna attack with my hammer, two-handed swing, at the one just directly next to me. And that is 13 to hit.
It hits. Yeah, you're going for 12.
Shoo! And let me roll my damage. Please hold. That is 16 bludgeoning.
All right, so you hit this creature with your hammer, and you're just kind of like swinging at what you can see there, that glow around it. And does your hammer just do the bludgeoning?
It's the hammer that I had with the nature spell that you gave me from the wilds. I think it's a plus one magical hammer.
Yeah, so it's magical damage. It just doesn't do any other form of damage. It just does
just pure
an extra, and it's considered magical. So that's good. Okay. So yeah, you swing through and just kind of distribute a whole bunch of the shadow out into the air, like a mist beyond it. And it dissolves and vanishes as this thing kind of coalesces back together and starts to wrap itself around you again. Anything else? Got another attack?
Yeah, I do have a secondary attack, and I'm going to continue my phrase. And right here! And I'm going to swing down at the other one directly next to me, two-handed.
Okay.
That, sir, is 22 to hit.
Oh, yeah. Definitely hits.
And rolling damage for that. Sucker. 18 damage. technically bludgeoning slash magical. I don't know.
Yep, it's bludgeoning, but it is considered a magical weapon, so that doesn't get halved. So, yeah, you swing again and just disperse a whole bunch of this thing. And it's weird because you know you're doing damage, but it feels like you're just swinging through air. But when it comes back together, it's not as opaque. It's like a more transparent darkness in front of you. And you don't hear any shriek, any shrill cries, nothing. But you do see as you look beyond it and the opaqueness kind of starts to fade away from this damage, you see a little goblin behind it. It's Giss's mom walking towards you, just giggling. Where have you gone? Like that. And is that the whole turn?
Yeah, I'm gonna say, finally, like, not give him your best shot. That's all I got. Hold on. And then, like, that'll be the end of my turn, as I'm still feeling kind of out of it from the drain that they have on me.
All right, Davin, it's all on you now.
All right, where they're fighting, they're kind of between a hut and a tree, and they're in the dark, and they're surrounded by shadow. And Davin just kind of from, like, 50 feet away, 60 feet away, almost just shrugs and says, why does it always have to happen at the night time? Why can't we ever fight during the day? And he's going to trace a circle in front of him, and you just see this green energy appear, and then he kind of splits it in half like two bubbles, just like forming into like two separate circles. And he yanks them forward, and they go between, one hits Davin, the other one hits Gwen, and Gwen, you feel like this surge of energy come through you as I cast haste on both of us using sorcery points.
Oh, all right. You're hasted. Both of you are hasted. That means speed is doubled. You get extra action. And what else?
Plus two to your AC.
Plus two to your AC.
Yep.
Haste is good.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, you're cool now. Congratulations. And
Davin's going to say, lead the way. I don't see anything. And then I'll move forward because I can hear the action. I'll move forward 30 feet from where I am. And then that'll be my turn.
Oh yeah, if I'm swinging in air and hitting the ground, you're definitely hearing the thud. I'm swinging hard, swinging for the fences.
Yeah, you're hearing the hammer hit the ground behind you. I mean, you're hearing Kriggs say stuff like, "Oh, keep going," whatever he's saying. I'm not gonna do a Kriggs impression.
I can't do it. There's too many. I'm surrounded.
Right. So is that your whole turn?
That's it. That's what I'm doing this turn.
All right, then Gwen, we're up to you now.
She's gonna feel this energy. What is happening? And when she starts to move forward to follow Davin, her pace is very quickened. So she immediately is going to follow him. And then she has dark visions, but she can't really see them. Like, she can make them out. And enough of this. And if I can, she's going to raise her hands up and she's going to cast Moonbeam.
Okay, sure. Where are you putting it?
I would like to put it on this creature that is in the pen still.
Okay, so still in the pen, there's this. Well, I'm going to have you make a perception check.
Okay.
As you're trying to see these creatures, because they are real good at blending into this. I'm not going to make you roll at a disadvantage because of the light globules in the sky.
My next question is, are they shapeshifters? And you said perception.
I did.
I'm counting. 24. 14 plus 8.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you do see 22. This. You look around and you see suddenly this movement. And it's like a shadow, but nothing belongs to the shadow. It's like the shadow's moving independently of a creature or person. And it's this small goblin-sized shadow. And it shifts forward just a little bit. And that's when you can cast that moonbeam because you recognize it. Something seems hostile. So you do see it.
And she's raising her hands up and she says, moon and elven, help thy. And a moonbeam pierces down. It's about 40 feet tall. It's a cylinder, 5 foot radius. And it's going to cast down on the little shadowy figure and hopefully singe it on its turn. That's the hopes. I was also hoping it would maybe cast light from it, but it doesn't say.
It doesn't seem to cast a lot of light. There is light right in its spot. What kind of damage is it?
It is radiant damage.
And when does it take that damage?
On its turn, first time it starts its turn, Okay. It's going to be engulfed in ghostly flames. Okay. Has to make a constitution saving throw and then takes 2d10.
Okay. All right. All right. So this beam suddenly just shines down on this creature, and you can now see, everybody can very plainly see the silhouette. It's like a little goblin silhouette in this beam of what seems to be moonlight. And it is absorbed in this light. And so it makes it pretty obvious now that there's something there. And that is your whole turn, Gwyn, or?
You actually have another action that you can use for attack, a dash, a disengage, hide, or to use an object. Oh, yeah,
because you have that haste.
Hasted.
So you can do another thing.
I want to do another thing because I don't want to waste it.
You can try to move. You can,
pretty much anything but a spell.
Yeah, anything but a spell.
Can I just copy this, please? I am going to cast, not a spell, but I want to cast my spirit totem, and we're going to do the unicorn. I just went and cast the whole thing. You and your allies gain advantage on ability checks, and they should get hit points equal to my druid level. And I want to do the aura around Kriggs and Joxer.
All right, so what color is this aura? The unicorn one?
We're going to do unicorn colors, so it's going to be little rainbow sprinkles all over the place.
Yes, it is. So this rainbow sprinkly light, after this moonbeam drops, suddenly this rainbow sprinkly light surrounds Kriggs and Joxer and just starts pulsing. And you feel this surge of energy as you get, 10 hit points? Temporary hit points each? Yep. You each get 10 temporary hit points, and you now have advantage on all your checks or saving throws. What is that?
Correct.
You just said it, but I...
Joxer, it worked!
On all ability checks.
Ability checks, not saving throws.
My little bird friend actually woke them up. Or maybe... Who knows if my hammer did it, but nonetheless, that's got to be Gwyn.
You hear Davin yell out, "I was already awake."
This is the first I'm becoming aware that they're actually awake, seeing her little moonbeam and all these unicorn sparkles. I'm like, "Ooh, it's Gwyn."
Can only be Gwyn.
Only Davin would cast haste on me.
So you get this, you get that moonbeam come in, you get that surrounding you, this pink aura. You're looking through this and seeing still these green lights. There's like magical aura and light and things all over the place over here now. You start to see through the distance from the residual light, you start to see little goblin faces all over the place watching what's happening. Many of them come out, look, and go back inside. Like they're, "Oh no," and they're, "No thank you." And then you see this, you hear this thwang of what sounds like a crossbow. And when you hear the thwang,
Yeah.
That'd also be a good goblin name. Thwang.
Thwang.
I dig it.
Yes, my name is Thwang Bolt.
23 to hit Davin.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so Davin, suddenly you take this crossbow bolt to the gut. And you take a D8, which I know I have one. 6 piercing damage. Make a saving throw, please.
Okay. What kind
of
saving throw?
It is Constitution. I also need to roll.
24.
Oh, actually, hang on. So you took 14 damage.
Okay.
Plus 24 sneak attack damage.
Wow, okay.
And what was your saving throw?
It was 24.
24. So yeah, you save. You feel this sting of familiar sting of poison, and it you kind of shove it away and you kind of don't let it bother you. And then another arrow flies in right then. And this one is a 21 to hit.
Yeah.
And you take 8 piercing damage and make another saving throw. You have to beat a 15.
Natural 16. I'm good.
Yep. So you take another, what was that, 8?
Yeah.
What was your total damage?
I don't know the math, but I'm down to 15.
Okay. And then suddenly you all
see... Is that with Gwyn's health?
She didn't. He didn't get it. He's not in the aura.
It's 30 feet.
Then in the middle of this pin, as these creatures have been kind of stirring about, you see this silhouette standing in the middle of the pin, and it's a goblin, but he is dark complected, and there is this shadow almost steaming off of him and pouring off of him, and it is like swirling around, and he lifts his hands, puts his hands forward, and when he does, a shadow kind of comes out of his hands, swirls around the ground, and forms two more of these shadow creatures that you've been fighting from the ground. And you hear him say,
"You cannot kill me a second time."
And he raises a short sword and he lifts his crossbow, and you see the face of Teld, the goblin you killed in the forest.
Oh, I knew
it. This time he's dark and his eyes glow this yellow green. And that's where we're going to end the episode.
Oh. The heck?
No!
A little bit more trouble than I thought we were going to be in.
Thank you for listening to episode 4 of our second season. If you enjoyed our show, tell a friend about us. And if you really enjoyed the show, tell us. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Hired Swords. Go ahead and send us a tweet or message. We'd love to hear that you're enjoying the show. And while you're at it, you can check out our merch shop, currently with a sale 15% off with code DALE at thehired.store. And again, thank you for listening.